difficult situation in our lives, but yet we have the promises of God, where He has said to us, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. And to know that He is our Jehovah Rapha, the Lord to heal us through our troubles, our circumstances, and situations in our lives. And so, Lord, we ask that You would bless this evening, for we ask in the holy and blessed name. Amen. And so they sing the song of Moses, and everybody's excited and rejoicing and can't believe the events of the days gone by. Also, you have to throw in the aspect of the 10 plagues and all the things that have been transpiring in the past weeks and days. And they come to the Red Sea, they're delivered, they sing the song of Moses, and as it were, they are on top of the mountain. Everything's great. God is on our side. We're serving God. Everything's going well. What a blessing. So they're on the mountaintop. And so they take off on a journey. And there's no doubt in my mind that in this journey that they were intelligent enough to gather water on their travels. But of course, we need to remind ourselves, you're talking about 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe million people. Not counting the livestock, animals, things like that. So I'm sure everybody carried water in their water skins or whatever you want to call them. And little did they know that they would go on a journey for 3 days. Hot and burning. 3 days, and the water would run out. And then if we said, as far as the eye can see, they see a little pond, a lake, an area of water, and they get so excited, and you can see the adrenaline, the excitement as they travel to this place. And I can just see them running to the water, just can't wait to have a drink of water as their lips are purged, their tongues are swollen, and it's hot and burning in that sand. No air condition. No ceiling fans. Would have been perfect for you, Brother Ron. We could transfer you about 5,000 years ago, Brother Ron, however long ago it was. Would have been right perfect for Ron. 40 years in the wilderness. Nonetheless, the waters were bitter. I can imagine that joy just being so removed, deflated. Talk about taking the air out of the balloon. Oh my. And they lose sense of the fact that God is with them. But they make the biggest mistakes that even Christians do. I don't think not one of us can point the finger at these people. Because we do the same thing. We know that God is with us. We have the promises. We sing there in Psalm 46. It says, be still and know that I am the Lord. I will be exalted among the nation. I will be exalted in the earth. But is that first verse? You don't have to turn there. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In the Hebrew, the word trouble is plural. A very present help in trouble. But if God is there, not once, not twice, but a great many times in our troubles. But we make the same mistake as these Jews did. They get so caught up with the fury of their trial that they take their eyes off God and they put their eyes upon the situation and they lose sight. Now, as in chapter 14. Remember when they first came to the Red Sea? And they encamp there for the night. In the morning they wake up and they see the chariots of Pharaoh coming against them. And if we say, mount to the left, to the right. The Red Sea in front of them. Behind them is Pharaoh and his army. And they all start screaming. Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord this day. Let me ask you a question. What else was there to signify that God was present with them? Thank you. The pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. Well, guess what was with them when they got to the waters? Yeah, the same pillar. So, God was with them. But they made that awful mistake of taking their eyes of God and setting their eyes upon the trial, upon the circumstance, the affliction, the trial, whatever you want to call it. Instead of looking up, they're looking down. And I can assure you, anytime we do that, when we take our eyes off God, I can assure you what's going to ensue. Murmuring and complaining. And we're no different. As much as we want to say that we're perhaps spiritual and we have all 66 books of the Bible and we know so much theology, and perhaps some of you learned this morning the importance of prevenient grace, learn another good doctrine and things like that. But guess what? We go through a hard time, a difficult time, and we take our eyes off God. Knowing that God has promised us, in this world you shall have tribulation. Through much tribulation you must enter into the kingdom of God. God has already told us. Even before we have our trial, God has already told us, be of good cheer, I have overcome this world. God has already told us that we're going to have trials. We're going to have circumstances. We're going to have temptations. But we're not good at hearing. Next week, I'm going to start a series, which I did not do, and that is on the 10 plagues. Okay, y'all forgot I did skip chapter 6 through 12 and jump all the way to chapter 13. And so my sermon next week, Lord willing, would be on God hardening Pharaoh's heart. Hard message to preach. To start our studies. But as a reminder, what did God tell Moses? Right there, he's standing, or I should say kneeling in front of the burning bush. What did God tell Moses? He will not let the people go. In other words, God has already told us certain things that are going to transpire. Our problem is, we don't have a hearing ear. There's always something wrong with the ear gate, isn't there? There's always something wrong with that ear gate. You know, we want to walk our life with the eye gate. Everything has to be in accordance with our eyes to be perfect, that everything will be all right. We want to walk by sight. But we know that the scriptures say very clearly that we are not to walk by sight, but how? By faith. And it's no different with them. They come to this particular place in their life. 3 days' journey. And again, use your imagination. Think of all those that had young children. And they're crying, they're begging their parents for water. And what parents feel so impotent, so bad also that you can't even provide for your own family. Water. I mean, it's hard for us to understand that because, oh, you turn on the water, turn on the faucet, and there's water everywhere. And so they walk 3 days in the hot and burning sun. And they see water, they run to it, and then they're very disappointed. And bring us right back to the issue that instead of seeking the Lord, crying out to the Lord, they took their eyes off God, put it under situation, and they started murmuring and complaining. This is not the first time they have done this. But we're going to see as we go to the book of Exodus, and even if you were to read through the book of Numbers, it was a constant issue with Israel. Always murmuring and complaining. No matter how many times God delivers them, never really laying hold of the fact that God was going to provide for them. Jehovah Jireh was going to provide for them. Or, as we have here, Jehovah Jireh, or Jehovah Rapha, excuse me, was going to heal them of whatever the situation. Not so much the essence of sicknesses, and that can be part of it, but also heal us from our troubles. I mean, there's a sense when you look at Jehovah Rapha, it's also an issue that at salvation, He healed us from our sins. That He is my Jehovah Rapha. Delivered me from my sins. He is my healer. And that could be spiritual and that could be physical. It's one thing to know. And it is a totally different thing to appropriate. We know. But many times we don't appropriate. As we spoke last Sunday night, the importance of what? Mixing faith with believing. We don't appropriate faith as we ought. And so the end result is we fall, we succumb to the trial, and we become murmurers just like these people. Verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Instead of going to God, instead of praying, instead of calling the prayer meeting, instead of asking Moses, let's pray, let's seek the Lord, see what He'll do for us. They start murmuring and complaining. And I can assure you, so you know and understand, that this complaint against Moses was really against God. But Moses did the right thing. I said, Moses is one of my favorite characters of the whole Bible. He amazes me. Verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. That's interesting, really, when you think about it. The tree was always there. The tree was there. But they were so blind because of their circumstances, they didn't see the tree. The tree was right there. Whether they understood if there was any healing properties in that tree, I don't know. Don't want to put too much stock in the tree because I believe the powers came from God. Nonetheless, God uses the means of instruments. He used the instrumentality of the tree to sweeten the bitter waters. But I love the fact that, notice, they murmur. But as soon as Moses prayed, and as he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which was when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. So quick was the answer given to them to remind them again that God was with them. But again, just like you and just like me, we forget. Especially sometimes we forget the past experiences of God. Not saying that we should dwell in those. But if God did it for me in the past, I know He'll do it for me again.
Right.
If He was my helper, my aid in the past through the difficult trial, can He not do it again? Often you hear that prayer of David, reminding of God what He did in the past, oh, that He might do it at the present time. That's called appropriating faith. So they cast that tree into the waters, and the waters were made sweet, and so now they're able to partake of that water. Remove that thirst that was killing them for those days. But it was right there at that particular place, there, nowhere else. God brought them to this place in His providence to teach them a lesson. It was right there that He made for them a statue. It was right there that He made for them an ordinance. And it was right there that He also proved them. Jehovah Shammah, meaning the Lord is. The Lord is what? Oh, my, my. Preached on that about 2 months ago, I think. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is. What? There. Yes. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. The Lord was there the whole time. And there, Jehovah Rapha healed them. There, Jehovah Shammah was with them the whole time. There. Nowhere else but there. And wherever that there is, that's where I want to be because that's where God is. Go read the story of, I love the story of Elijah. And God tells Elijah, go here, go there. You know, go hide in the cave, go to this widow woman, go, and the ravens will feed you there by the creek and all that. But you always know there's a little phrase regarding the word there. In other words, if Elijah had gone somewhere else than there, God would not have met his needs. If the Lord is there, you want to be there. That's the place where God meets with His people. And there is that sense that God meets with His people in a special place in His church, in His local visible body. There. There. We spoke in that sermon. God credentializing the church, blessing the church in such a special way, promises the Lord will be where there to meet with His people. And they were in the wilderness, and the Lord said, there, nowhere else. But it had to be there. But He made that statue, that ordinance. He had the same place. He proved their hearts. And God will do the same thing for you. He'll do the same thing for me. He will prove our hearts.
Amen.
To see if we really love Him with all our heart, our soul, our strength, our mind.
Amen.
God has a way of proving us. And that proving by God is not your way. It's God's way. See, our proving will be easy. See, because we want the easy way out. But the reason God sometimes proves us in the hard way is to strengthen your faith. How can your faith be strengthened with just little things? But when you see God do something marvelous and big and deliver you from a certain situation, it strengthens your faith that you do grow in that grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just theologically, not just from knowledge that you grow, but you grow spiritually.
Right.
Appropriating God by faith.
Mm-hmm.
That God quickens that to your heart, that if He provided my mind for my needs, whether it was a healing or whatever it was, a deliverance from something. If He did it for me, then can He not do it again for me?
Amen.
But we must set our eyes upon Him. He says, at verse 26, after he gives them the dare lesson, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight. Again, that's the only right we have as Christians.
That's right.
We always want to complain about these rights and those rights. You don't have, once you come into the kingdom of God, we're citizens.
Amen.
Our citizenship is heavenly. Our citizenship is in that heavenly Jerusalem. And my only rights are the right to do that which is right. And will do that which is right in His sight. That's the only right you have. So we can't complain, somebody mistreated me and somebody did this to me and this right was taken away from me. You only have one right. The right to do right in the sight. And then also he says, which will give ear to his commandment, keep all his statutes, and the promise is, you obey me, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians. And then he reminds them, for I am Jehovah, Lord, that healeth thee. Raha. He reminds them that I am the Lord, your healer. I am He that would heal you. I will heal you from your troubles. I will heal you from your sicknesses. I will heal you in your soul. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord. The Lord, your healer. But again, to grasp the understanding that we must trust God. We must believe in God. We must look at God. One of the blessed examples of this is in 2 Chronicles 20. We preached on this before many years ago. One of my favorite studies. If you never read through 2 Chronicles 20, I admonish you. That is a blessed chapter to encourage you, especially if you're going through a trial right now. Because everything they do in this trial is what we need to do when we go through a trial. Amazing, huh? 2 Chronicles 20. The first four words is the definition of what? Can somebody give me an answer? The first four words is the definition of what? Providence. There we go. You remember that from this morning, huh? That's providence. What's providence? And it came to pass. Everything's going fine for Jehoshaphat. And it came to pass. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others besides, Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Whatever it may be, it might be sickness. You might have lost your job. You might have gone through some, maybe, financial difficulty, a trial, a situation. Could be your marriage. Could be something. But the idea is, and it came to pass, and it came against you. And this is what happened to Jehoshaphat. It came against him to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond. And again, you can insert a test, a trial, an affliction, a problem for multitude. And there came a great trial against you. There came a great affliction against thee. In verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. Again, there's nothing wrong with fearing. We all fear. It comes by nature. It is within us. But it's when you allow fear to dictate your faith. Now we're talking of something dangerous. I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Fear will rob you of faith. And it will. Fear will leave your faith naked. And I can assure you, you don't want that when you're going through a trial. There's nothing wrong with fearing. It is a natural tendency to be afraid. But to remember, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. How often in the Bible does it say, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Fear not. I think somebody said sometimes the phrase fear not or be not afraid, when you combine them together, it is used 365 times in the Bible. You know why? You get one for each day of the year. Not to fear. Not to fear. Not to be afraid. But to trust God. But a great multitude came against Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat feared. But look at the difference. Jehoshaphat did not set his eyes upon the Moabites that were coming against him. Jehoshaphat did not set his eyes upon that great multitude. Where did Jehoshaphat set his eyes? And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself. The word himself in the Hebrew means his face. He feared, but he did the right thing. He set his face to seek the Lord. And then proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. You know that we have in times before as a church fasted as a whole together over various situations, trials and things, and God has blessed. So there is a private fasting, and then there is also a corporate fasting. And here what you see is going to be a corporate fasting. All the people, in verse 4 it said, and drew together themselves together, there it is, to ask help of the Lord. There's nothing wrong to ask Him help. But Jehoshaphat set his face before the Lord first and asked God to help him. Then he called all his brethren. Then he called those near and dear to him to pray with him, to help him, to ask help. Would you ask the Lord, would you pray to God for me? And again, specific prayers. God's not interested in general prayers. Specific prayers. To ask help of the Lord. The church family helping. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came. There it is. To seek the Lord. In verses 3, 4, and 5. Three times the word, you see the word set, seek, and seek the Lord. This is a great trial because this great multitude that's coming upon them can create havoc for them and destroy them. And I love that Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? In other words, this prayer begins with a reminder of God's exaltation. A prayer started reminding them of where God is, of God's basic power. Art not thou God in heaven? In other words, there's no other God but Him. And so they set their hearts upon God, and they remind God of His power. And rulest thou not over all the kingdoms, over the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? In other words, you know what they're doing? They're confirming God's promises.
Right.
And then he does what I said earlier. He looks to what God has done in the past, and he reminds God and asking God, will you do it again?
Amen.
See, that's appropriating faith. That's taking the Word of God and making it special to your heart and to your soul, making it applicable.
Right.
He reminds them, a review of the past. Mm-hmm. Art thou not our God who did drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people of Israel? He reviewed the past. He remembered the past. He recounted the past.
Amen.
Art not thou our God? He's not asking faithlessly, but he's asking in great faith.
Yes.
He's not mocking God like, well, are you really? No, no. He's making a point here.
Amen.
Saying, you're the only God. Art not thou our God? And you drove out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? He claimed the promise. And they dwelt therein and had built the sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Again, a reliance against God's power, God being with us, God reminding us that He is the one who said, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Trusting Him, trusting in the promises of God. And I love this. It's not as though God did not know the situation, but Jehoshaphat rehearses in the ears of God the issue at hand. I love that. There's nothing wrong with telling God our problems.
Amen.
And pouring out our heart and just telling Him everything. Tell Him.
Amen.
We almost want to say God like we don't want to say it. Say it to Him. That's part of our faith. That's part of appropriating God as we go through a difficult time. God wants you to bear out your whole heart to Him. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, and they turned from them and destroyed not. Behold, I say now, how they reward us. Well, that's another rabbit I don't want to chase right now, but that don't be surprised, my dear ones. Do not be surprised. Do not ever be surprised if you name the name of Christ. Do not ever be surprised if those to whom you have done good turn around to do you evil.
Right.
And this is what God is reminding. Excuse me, Jehoshaphat is reminding God. Lord, remember, you wouldn't let us invade them because of this, this, and that, and look what they have done to us. That's powerful. There's a lot that. He said, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession which thou hast given to us to inherit. In verse 12, this is what I wanted to get to again. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? And look at what he says. We have no strength against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know what we do. No strength. He has no solution. He has nothing but God. Neither know what we to do. But that's the key right there. But our eyes are upon thee. There it is. There it is. You might not have any strength. You might not have a solution to your problem. But let me tell you, your eyes better not be on the waters and Myra. Your eyes better be toward God. Whatever bitter situation God may send your way, don't set your eyes upon Myra. Set your eyes upon God. Take your eyes away from your trial, from your affliction, from your situation. It is Jehovah Rapha that will heal you. Take your eyes away from that and set your eyes toward who? Toward heaven. And toward heaven above. I love that. Like, I don't know what to do, Lord. But I do know this one thing. My eyes, our eyes, are upon thee. You see, sometimes, again, those people, they took their eyes off God. And there's no doubt in my mind that right there and then, the pillar of cloud was with them. But they took their eyes off the pillar. They took their eyes off God, and all they were looking at the bitter waters. They were looking at that which was bitter, and they took their eyes off God. If you read the whole story, we'll look at verse 15, in the latter part of verse 15. It says, "Thus saith the Lord unto you," that is to Jehoshaphat, "be not afraid. Be not dismayed by reason of this great multitude," or you can insert there, "of this great crowd that has afflicted me." Why? Same thing he told Moses as they were camped by the Red Sea. "For the battle is not yours, but God." Verse 17, you need not fight in this battle. "Set yourself," there it is, "stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed tomorrow, for the Lord," tomorrow "go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And if you read the whole story, the whole idea is that in this particular story, you can read it later, look up here. In this particular story, they praise themselves to victory. And that's good to do. That's what I say, earlier, sometimes when you sing, and it's just a joy to the heart and to their soul, they praise themselves to victory. What military general is going to put the singers in the front of his army? Mind you, somebody did that before. His name, Joshua, I think. In Jericho? Isn't that amazing? Instead of having the best fighting man, put the singers in front of him. And the Lord gave them the victory. Praising yourself to victory. Why? Because we serve Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Whatever trial, situation, and just because there is no deliverance, and I say this very carefully, doesn't mean God's not working. Doesn't mean God's not working. It might be God's will for you not to be delivered. Well, Joel said, if I just set my eyes upon Him and do this, and you know, we want to put everything in a little framework. Do A, do B, do C, do your checklist. Well, I, Pastor Joel said, do this, I did this, I did this, I did this, and ooh, I'm still in trouble. The Lord might just want you to write out the whole trial through that He might grow you.
Amen.
Oh, you don't think He does that, do you? We'll end with this quickly, because I've gone a little bit longer than what I anticipated, but turn quickly to 2 Corinthians 12. Most of us know the story there, huh? I don't want to chase the rabbits of the charismatic and Pentecostals, you know. But I'm always amazed with the story here with Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12. I might have said 9, but 2 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul, going through a very difficult time. Look what it says in verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Remember, He had gone to the third heaven that was given me. A thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh, but He was afflicted terribly. So much so that He besought the Lord at least 3 times. He did what Jehoshaphat did. He did what Moses did. He did what you should do and I should do when we go through a trial. And that is, go to the Lord.
Right.
There was given to me. You get that? There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. In other words, God allowed in His providence for this to work out. Said the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. The Lord afflicted him greatly. The word buffet is a very strong word.
That's right.
You know, it's a big old kapow. Not just a little thorn that you might step on. For this thing I besought the Lord. Not once, not twice, thrice. That it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in My infirmities. And here's the end result of it. That the power of Christ may rest upon us. It is sufficient because of its origin. Why? It came from God. It came from God. God allowed it. God allowed it. And it is sufficient that we might know what? That we might know the power of Christ. That the power of Christ to rest on us.
Amen.
And that power is not to be a super Christian, you know? To flex your muscles and say, oh, look at me. I'm a super strong Christian. I'm not talking about that type of power. Spiritual power, yes. But this power speaks power to be submissive to God's will. You know how hard it is when you go to a trial? To be in submissive to God's will. Power from on high to be submissive to the Father's will. Power to bring joy in your circumstances. In everything you stand for. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And power to what? To rest in God's grace.
power to rest.
You see,
when you are resting,
as we are told here, there'll be no murmuring and complaining because you're resting in the Lord. You're trusting in the Lord. He might deliver us. He might not. If He doesn't deliver us, He's apparently teaching us something. But it doesn't mean we take our eyes off the Lord. No, we continue our eyes, and just like Paul, understand that my strength is made perfect in weakness, and most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That the power of Jehovah Rapha may rest upon me. And Paul says at verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distress, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so sometimes we do go through difficult times. And God will bless sometimes. God will deliver sometimes. And then sometimes God allows for the trial to follow its sequence, the full circle, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But would in all to understand, no matter how bad it might get, that our eyes are set upon Him. Because the moment you take your eyes off God, guess what you lose? That power. That power that He gives you to sustain you. That grace that He gives you, you lose it. That's why the importance of setting our eyes upon God as we go through difficult circumstances. And you see that throughout the Scriptures, my dear ones. And so may God remind us again, we're going to go through tribulations. We're going to go through various things. But we need to understand that God has promised us that I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I am with you always. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you might, you could. No, you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then He tells us also, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's pray. Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You again this evening for Your goodness and mercy, and reminding us of our blessed God, Jehovah Rapha. And Lord, yes, we might go through harsh times as individuals, as Christians, as the church, as a nation, Lord. But to remind us, this is nothing new. The church has always been under persecution. And it's only in the past 200 to 300 years that there have been peace in the church. And we do thank You for that, Lord. And so God, help us in our own individual trials, or there be church trials, corporate trials, whatever, Lord, no matter what, but that we could gather together and set our eyes upon Thee, trusting Jehovah Rapha. Why? Because He is the Lord that would heal us. For we ask these things in Your blessed and holy name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing John 14:27 as we conclude our services this evening. John 14:27.